Welcome to B2B Podcast Stories, brought to you by GHA Marketing. Our guest today is Matt Bailey, the host of Endless Coffee Cup Podcast and the founder of SiteLogic Marketing. In this episode, the guest shares the story behind the inception of his podcast, inspired by his collection of domain names. Today, expect to learn how Matt transitioned from running a website about coffee to hosting a podcast focused on digital marketing, discover how backlinks through guest appearances contribute to the overall SEO optimization strategy of his websites, explore the importance of adapting to changing circumstances and interests, and acknowledging the need for breaks to prevent burnout. Before we begin, please remember to subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. It helps the show more than I can explain, and we are going to keep bringing you amazing guests and stories about all the different ways of podcasting. And with that, here is Matt Bailey. Matt, can you please tell me the story of Endless Coffee Cup? By the way, I love the name of the podcast, but please tell me the story.
Well, I wanted to start a podcast, and basically I went back and I looked at all the domain names that I own. You know, if you've been in this business for any length of time, you buy domain names based on inspiration, and I had about 15 years of domain names just collected, and I went through them actually to see what I liked. But I had actually run a website about coffee years ago, and I was, you know, just doing some affiliate marketing and actually trying coffee. I was getting coffee sent to me. It was one of the best things, you know, just one of those experimental sites that you run. So I still had the domain name. And to me, I always love meeting people for coffee. And as you can tell, I'm a big coffee fan. But some of the best conversations I've had in my life have been over a cup of coffee. So that's how we went with that name.
Wow. I love the name. So wait, how many domains did you have when you checked on that?
I think I have over 100, but that's relatively small compared to some other people I know.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, obviously you're in the marketing and the internet space, right? So there will be lots of, but 100 is a pretty decent number. That's pretty solid. But yeah, so love it. Endless Coffee Cup. And I guess just to follow up on what you just explained, it's because it's a podcast about having great conversations. And that's what you were remembering as, okay, the coffees I'm taking are generally coming with great conversations. Cool. So tell us about this podcast. What do you discuss there? What's the topic? Why did you start it? The whole shebang.
I started it because I have a lot of training content in different companies, in different places all around the world. And so people would contact me saying, I took your class with this company. Most of the time, I don't even know what company has my training content. So they would contact me. We would connect on LinkedIn and I would try and get them into, well, sign up for my newsletter. But I felt like there just needed to be something more, something to follow up on it, because people were contacting me because they enjoyed the course. They were obviously interested in learning and professional development and getting more. And so that's when I felt like, you know, a podcast would be a great way to bring people from all these different areas and stay in touch and continue that professional development. And so that was the idea of starting the podcast, was to bring in people from all these different areas, wherever they found me. So now whenever I create a course for another company or on LinkedIn or anything like that, I'm always telling people, go subscribe to the podcast, because that's how we're going to keep up to date on all of this changing industry. So that was the way we started. And so the target audience really created itself. It is people who are just out of university or in university. They're learning digital marketing, but they know that there is so much more beyond what they're learning in the classroom. And so, or even now they're a year or two into their role and they're learning that there's more than they learned in the classroom. So that's probably the biggest group that are taking online courses, and they are searching for information. They're looking to back up what they're doing and to reinforce or learn new things. The second group, what I would describe as probably your second career people, they're a little older. They have a career, but either they're transitioning into digital marketing or they've been put into a role where now they have to manage the digital marketing department. So these are typically older people. They've been in the workforce for a couple of decades, but they know they need to sharpen their skills in digital. And so those are the two primary groups of people that both take courses with me, but also are listening to the podcast.
lots of things I want to unpack here. So the first thing you mentioned is about the trainings that you give. So usually the likely way to do things is like listen to the podcast story and then make the link with the business. But here I feel it's kind of interdependent here because you created it for that. And that's very interesting because we often have people who created a podcast because they wanted to talk about a topic, to expand their brand. You created it as a mid funnel asset in the sense that you have people in the first place, right? Then it turns into something you didn't expect, like all the podcasts. But the first thing was, okay, those people are reaching out to me because they found out about me via channel XYZ. What can I give them for free to keep on providing them value? Oh, a podcast, which actually is very smart. And there you provide more value. The training courses that you give, what is it about exactly? I suspect there is some digital marketing in it, but what do you provide courses on?
So primarily, I provide courses on search engine optimization, on website analytics, content marketing. Boy, and that's a thing we can keep going back. Website architecture, keyword research, there's conversion optimization. So I've got courses on some websites going back probably more than 15 years that I have. Even when I had an agency, people were bringing me in to create training courses for their association, for their organization, or also for training companies that were putting out content. So it's one of those things that you never know what course is out there and what someone takes. And so it's always fun to hear where people come from.
100%. And so let me pick your brain on something here, Matt. SEO optimization. Can you optimize podcasts for SEO?
Absolutely, you can. And that's one of the things, there are so many tools out there now. I'm actually developing a search engine optimization training course right now. It's so different than the courses I made 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because we have so many more tools. And the tools are better. But if you're putting your podcast on YouTube, YouTube has a keyword tool to look and see what people are searching for and the words they're using. And so, optimizing the podcast from the title, the description, even what kind of content you're going to create. And then you can get as detailed as getting into the ID tags as well, if you want. But you can optimize.
Okay, but makes sense. So you can optimize for SEO. Is it the same on the platforms as well, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify? From your knowledge, can we optimize for SEO there? Because the thing we found out is, so obviously, we do SEO optimization, but from articles that are written based on the podcast content. And there we find that super relevant because in the podcast episode, you will have tons and tons of relevant keywords for your industry. If your podcast is at least virtually connected to your business or what you want to promote on your website, so that's a good way of providing SEO benefits to our clients thanks to the podcast. What I'm interested in, though, is search engine of the podcast platforms themselves. For instance, on Spotify, it's much harder to, as a user as well, right? It's much harder to just find some great content based on a question. I don't know, how to feed my hamster. And I will not get relevant content necessarily on Spotify, for instance. So have you cracked that one?
No, as you said, it is different on different platforms. And Spotify, I don't think makes theirs, their background's not in search. So, information retrieval is a completely new thing for them. Some of your older platforms like Libsyn, Podbean, they were built on findability. And so that's when you're shopping for, where to put your podcast. That's one of the considerations. Right now, I'm kind of in a hard spot because I'm part of a network and the network got bought by Spotify. And so now we have to use the Spotify method, which I'm really not too happy with. But yeah.
Wait, that's interesting. So you're part of the marketing podcast network?
Yes.
Cool. So we actually had Jason Fall on the show a few episodes back. Nice. So wait, we didn't know that. So the network has been bought by Spotify?
Well, the network we were using. Boy, I didn't want to, I almost started a whole rumor there, but maybe that would be a way to do it.
Spotify, if you're listening to us right now, you know what to do.
We were using Megaphone. Megaphone got bought by Spotify. And so now it's transitioned us into the Spotify system. But I will say my favorite one has been Libsyn. I've so enjoyed Libsyn and I hated to leave. So if I start another podcast, it would be back on Libsyn.
Fair. Okay. Love that. Sorry, it was a nice tangent, but back to your podcast, Matt. So it starts with the mid-funnel assets. The other thing you mentioned was interesting is that people who are a few years in their career in digital marketing, and they find out that there is so much more. Actually, that made me thought, I was Googling it at the same time. The learning curve of, like, when you start, you're clueless. you go a bit down the rabbit hole. You're naively confident because you're like in the space for 1 or 2 years and you're like, okay, I know my thing now. I know my shit. And then a few years later, you're like, oh wait, there is so much more. And the way it's written on this curve is like discouragingly realistic. Because I'm like, I'm never gonna wrap everything around my head right now. And that's where the podcast is. That's the first group that you mentioned, right? The people who are a few years in their career who are like, wait, there is so much more than what we learned on the bench of the school. And they get to listen to the podcast. The other group, and that was interesting, are people who are much more advanced in their career. So let me dig a bit into that. Who do you interview typically and what concept do you explain? Because the other thing, just to finalize this question, is your topic could be very YouTube friendly, for instance, where you have a screen, where you have a video, where you can show stuff like SEO optimization, websites optimization, how to structure properly an article and so on. How do you do that with a podcast?
With the podcast, I'll do that with the show page, you know, where we can take, and that's again, where the tools are so good now compared to what they used to be. You know, you can get a transcript and put that on the page. You can also mark up the transcript. You can also, you know, use AI, create a fully formatted blog post. So those are ways. And that's why I advocate if you do have a podcast, have a different page for every show. Because on that page, you're optimizing for that term. And also, you're optimizing for the guest that you have on that show as well. And this is one of the things I talk about in SEO that, you know, and link building is a very controversial topic. And I come down very strict on link building about if you're buying links, you're playing a dangerous game. However, if you're guesting on podcasts, which is really easy to do, you're getting really good links, solid links to your site. And the thing is, that's marketing. You're marketing yourself as an expert. You're getting people to talk to you and they're giving you links. And so there is, I think in this modern day of SEO, people forget marketing. It's marketing is what's going to build your links, is what's going to build your authority, your expertise. You can't technically build it. You can't build it just with writing. It's marketing that takes it to that next level.
100%. Link building. I wasn't thinking of going there, but now you got me. So guesting is an excellent way to build qualitative links. I join you on the... If you're buying links, you're playing a dangerous game. The reason for that is you're going to buy links from a service provider who probably have, okay, a proper domain authority checker and probably that has its sources, that has its partners, and that will get you articles or links on other websites. Problem with those websites is that they are partners with the service providers who propose links. So they do that at scale with a lot of other websites. Eventually, they get caught as well because sending that much links in an unreasonable amount makes you get flagged by Google. And then Google knocks to your door and say, hey, what is happening? And so they shut down those links. So this strategy worked for 6 months, but then you paid for it. The website, wanting to get their domain authority back up, just deleted those links and you're left with nothing and you paid for it. Guesting on the web, on the podcast, is an excellent way to do that because eventually, even if it's a very prolific podcast, there won't be more than 2-3 episodes a week. So that's 12 links a month if they link to all the guests, which is a reasonable amount, but it's not like the thousands certain websites would have. The other way, if I may add to that, Matt, is having a podcast. We have actually 6 podcasts under management for which the sole objective is to get links. That needs to come with content value, but like they get guests who commit on posting links on their website towards the website of the podcast. And that gets the website ranking so high. Because here, same thing. Every month you get 4 to 8 qualitative backlinks that nobody else gets because those are people who wouldn't do typically linking to other websites. But here you give them a good reason to like, hey, check out my interview on that podcast with those people. Great time. We talked about this. Boom. 4 to 8 links a month qualitative just thanks to podcasting. So I really like that you got me here, Matt. Makes a lot of sense. Cool. So what's your business, Matt? What do you do exactly?
So the background of my business is SiteLogic, and we started out as a marketing firm, digital marketing firm. So it was digital analytics, it was SEO, paid search, conversion optimization, and for about 10 years, ran it as an agency and absolutely loved it, had just an amazing time, amazing clients, amazing employees. But it got to the point where my training business was now competing with my agency business, and I couldn't do both because I was being invited to go speak, go train, and things like that. And so it became very difficult, and I had to make a choice. So now, almost 10 years ago, I converted the business, sold off all the client services part, and kept the training side. And so now it's just been training. And traditionally, that's been in person or developing training courses for in-house training. So like I'll go to that, you know, one example is I went to Microsoft, went to their studios, recorded there, and all of those training courses are in their learning system available to Microsoft employees. And so doing that for associations, doing a lot of in-house. Of course, with everyone, COVID changed everything. So we went all to online. But one of the things I've always wanted to do is create my own coached course, because I think digital marketing is one of those areas where learning it out of a book is very, very difficult because you have to see it in practice. And I think our industry could benefit more from apprenticeship style learning rather than university style, or as most people do, they sit in front of videos for hours at a time. And so what I have been developing and am developing are an apprenticeship style of learning where you'll watch a little bit of video, but you do an assignment, you turn that assignment in to me, but it's not just the research or the assignment. I'm going to ask you to present it in a way that mirrors a real world presentation, whether it's to a client, a team, a stakeholder, a CEO. So not only do you get an assignment, you get a context through which here's how you're going to do the assignment and here's how you're going to present it. And so I work with them on not only how to understand the business, but also the politics of the business when you're in the agency, when you're working with clients. And that way, I feel I'm contributing to the industry and growing that next generation of leaders.
So I like that approach a lot. I mean, it's not just marketing anymore then, right? It's like almost career training and how to stand up for yourself, how to play the politics of the game, because that's what it is.
Yeah, there was a recent study of digital marketers, and it found that 20% of their time is spent presenting their strategy, their results, their recommendations. And so when a fifth of your time is spent presenting, there's some serious skills that need to be there that aren't taught along the way.
Love that. That's one day per week, basically, where you just plain blank present. Yeah. Okay. So you name dropped quite some big time stuff here. So you do that with Microsoft. How do you get them to present, and how do you get to coach them properly in a digital era? How does that work?
As far as what did I teach them or how did we work together?
Yeah, and the how, right? Because you're like, so you accompany them, you actually get them to get in their A game when it comes to presenting, and it's still virtual, right? Or do you still do that in person?
For many years, it was in person. Once we hit COVID, then it became virtual. But yeah, we're getting back into in person now. So that's exciting.
Yes, hallelujah. So how do you link the podcast with your clients? How do you link the podcast and your business right now, Matt?
So I link it into part of the training that as you're going through these courses, here are resources. And so I will interview specialists in different areas. For example, paid search. I've got two programs lined up with people that have been doing paid search for more than 15 years. And so I know their background, I know their credibility, and we're going to get what's been changing, how are they changing, what's their view of it. And that's, I don't just want an information dump about how to do paid search. The guests that I bring on are, I handpick them. I don't take everyone who sends me a pitch, because they're pitching the wrong thing. What I'm looking for are people who are going to help you think through the process and give you very foundational things to start from. But I want to teach people the how, the why, understanding what's going on to that, but also listen to their experience. They're going to tell you where to watch out. They're going to give you a great, great deal of learned experience that you can bring. But also, they're going to have a bit of contrarianism. They're going to go against the grain in some way. And that is such an important part of the interview.
100%. And so would you say that you learn from your guests themselves?
Oh, absolutely. Every show I learn something. That's one of the things I absolutely love about podcasting is that I learn something. It's keeping me up to date. And when you talk to other really smart people who are really good at what they do, you can't help but learn from them. And, you know, many times I've had a podcast, I've taken some of what they do, I put it into my courses. And now I can take a little clip of them saying it and put it in the course. And so it's very, very helpful. And, it, you know, as you refer to, it is starting to intersect more and more, integrating the podcast in with the course building, in with the business building. All of those things are, and that would be my advice to people, is don't think you need to figure it all out before you start or in your first year. I'm now in probably my 8th year of podcasting, and I feel like I'm just starting to figure it out.
So I was going to say it's about time, but no, that's actually fair. And I like that advice here. I want us to spend a bit more time on advice for podcasters and wannabe podcasters later in this interview, but I'm gonna take the opportunity here. 100%, just start. There is this amazing stat, which is 90% of podcasters don't make it past episode 3. And of those who do, 90% don't make it past episode 21. Like, it's actually so easy. You just need to do it. Like, take your microphone, record 4 episodes, publish them, you're better than 80% of the podcast. It's crazy. But it also shows how, not difficult it is, but how hard it is for people to just like get started, because lots of people want to have it all figured out before they even start. And what that, the only thing that it does is that it makes you not start. So definitely like that a lot. And you iterate along the way and you learn and you add more stuff and you change the way you do it and you interview more and more amazing people. So let me pick your brain and pick the brain of your guest. Can you teach me something about paid search? What did you recently learn that I could use?
What did I recently learn about paid search? No one likes performance max. Yeah, and that's the thing. Everyone I'm talking to, and that's the thing. I knew they wouldn't like it. And so part of this is I know the tone of the show before they even come on, because, you know, they're seeing these massive changes in their business and how they manage clients and the results of clients. And they're seeing tools being taken away. They're seeing reports being modified. So, you know, but I think there's a larger picture going on. And so, you know, we can talk about some of the specifics that Google is doing and changing and relying more on an AI-based bidding strategy, which none of the experts I know love or like. But the bigger picture that we're seeing here, and that's where we're getting into how to think about it. And that is that Google is, you know, doing what Google does, is they give things for free and then they slowly take them away. And ultimately you're paying for it in some way. And, you know, it's just becoming this big, trust us, you know, trust us, we'll take care of it. You know, says the company that has broken hundreds of laws internationally, had to be sued, but their big thing is trust us. We've got the technology to handle this. And so to me, that is the bigger lesson that we are dealing with. This is just one symptom of a bigger trend that is you as a marketer, or also you as a human in this digital world, need to be aware of. And that needs to be on your brain, regardless of what you do, that there's this massive company that is international that really doesn't follow, you know, many laws, and then wants you to trust them. And so that's that, you know, when you understand that and that's part of your thinking, it's going to change how you market. It's going to change how you live. And that's the type of content that I typically will move to.
Yeah, and I love that. And having the opportunity to interview experts on those very topics, because, I mean, how many businesses rely on Google to, I mean, all their paid ad strategy would be on Google, right? Any e-commerce website, these kind of companies. So it's super cool that you get access to those very people and get trained from them, and you can leverage the training directly in your podcast. That's pretty cool. So Matt, I was checking your podcast. So 137 episodes in, about 8 years going on. What are your key learnings from the podcasting world? And I'm interested in also in your perspective on what are your key learnings when it comes to linking the podcast with your business?
Key learnings. It's okay to change. It's okay to change course. It's okay to take a year off. When things get busy, when things get crazy, you know, maybe my first couple of years, maybe I had 6 in a year, maybe, because things were busy. You want to start it, but it's not part of your process. So, and then now, because I'm building my, you know, a different part of my training business. The podcast is, you know, it's going to change from, you know, casual conversations about this, you know, about technology. Well, now we're going to, because we're releasing more and more courses, we are changing the focus to education, that it's now going to be digital marketing education. That's going to be the focus of the podcast. And so I'm going to be a little bit more narrow. The listeners may not notice, but I'm going to be a bit more intentional about, we're training people. We've got people who have questions. We have people who are, you know, I can think of different listeners who have contacted me or told me they're listening. You know, one most recently, she was in one of my virtual courses and then told me, I saw her, you know, a couple months after she completed the virtual course. She's now started her own business, started her own website. She is selling services. And she's like, you know, your podcast is just one of those things that motivates me and keeps me going. So, you know, that inspires me now. And that helps me understand who my audience is, that this is, you know, it's part inspiration, it's part motivation and education. And so how do I now keep bringing in guests? How do I bring in content that's going to provide that motivation to the listener?
It's quite a heavy pressure. First thing I'm thinking is like, okay, you start humbly with a podcast that is meant to help people finding out about your content via training courses in their internal company. And like, hey, here is more free, valuable stuff. And now you have the, okay, my podcast can actually inspire people to start their business and achieve success thanks to good marketing strategy. Is that not too much pressure? Sounds like a silly question when I phrase it like this, but what's your view on it?
Yeah, I understand what you're asking. It's, and part of that, absolutely, I will say, when I'm doing it, when I'm have guests on, I absolutely enjoy it. I love talking to them. Love, you know, just seeing where the conversation goes, because you can't plan it. And there are certain guests I just, you know, absolutely love having on, because I know what it's going to be like. And you know, I've got probably two or three people that have been on the podcast probably six or more times.
Oh, wow.
Because they're just great guests and they bring good information, but they're entertaining as well. And I know what they're, I know that conversation, but yet you're going to go through times where honestly, you just don't feel like it. And for me, about a year ago, I lost my father. He had had dementia for a number of years and finally succumbed to that. And honestly, for the next 6 months, I did not want to do a podcast. I was tired. There was a lot to deal with. And the funny thing is that had nothing to do with the podcast, but you're going to go through times where it's a chore, or you may not even want to do it. And so I feel like, you know, I'm kind of getting back into the enjoyment of it, that I need this. And so that just that realization is you're not always going to be in the same mental state. You know, if you start doing this for more than a couple of years, you're going to go through periods where your business is taking your time, your family is taking your time, other factors are coming in, and you need to understand that's just normal. It's just normal to go through some of those things. And so, yeah, I would say some of that pressure is there, but I think more there's just an internal, you got to keep yourself going. It's really, I think, the biggest motivation there is.
100%. I'd like to offer a bit of a take on that. So that's touching, obviously, Matt. The first thing I'm thinking when you're saying that is one of the things we advocate for when it comes to podcasting is consistency, especially for the people who start in the podcast world, right? You cannot expect thousands, let alone hundreds, maybe a few dozens of downloads per episode when you start. Like when nobody knows you, unless it's marketed properly and you do a launch and so on. If you just start a podcast, at the beginning, it will take time. And as you say, it takes a few months, a few years to like change it, iterate on it, growing, nurturing it, and so on and so forth. One of the key to unlock success faster, doesn't mean fast, but faster, is to be consistent about it. Like when you say, okay, my objective for year 2024 is to get 24 podcast episodes out, one every 2 weeks. My math might be wrong a bit. 26 episodes out, one every 2 weeks, two per month. But then you need to put in the work to get those two episodes per month out. And the reason that's important is because you create a habit in listeners. If I know that Guillaume from B2B Podcast Stories releases a new episode every Tuesday at 8 a.m., I'm much more likely to tune back in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. than if it's sometimes on Tuesday, sometimes on Wednesday, sometimes we skip a week and so on and so forth. So that's why we think consistency is important. Now, with that being said, you need to do it with your soul. You need to be passionate about it. And I think you touched upon something very, very important here. It's like, yeah, it's okay not to feel like doing it and not doing it because of it. Because actually what people come and come back for is probably the host, the way he or she asks questions, right? The way he or she interacts with the guest and the value they get out of this episode that is enabled by the host. And people feel it. Like if you're 6 feet under and you're really not feeling like doing a podcast, people will just hear it. People will just feel it. And it might not be worth. So like take a step back, take a bit of time off, and then come back stronger and get back with business. I wanted to highlight that because the story you were mentioning, Matt, is touching. And although consistency is important, there is this importance of like putting your soul in it, putting your passion in it, is also very, very key in a successful podcast, I think.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I work with people on starting podcasts and I'm creating a course for another company right now on podcasts. And that's one of the thing is, okay, who's your first 10 guests? Let's start with that. And because that's going to help you determine your direction. It's going to help you determine the credibility of your show and also the personality of it. But I'm very, very open and honest with them. You're not always going to feel like it. There are days I'm like, why did I start this? You know. But then there are other days when I get done recording. I'm like, that was amazing. You know, I just felt like it's energizing when you can spend, you know, an hour, hour and a half with a good friend talking about stuff you like. And it's energizing and it you know, really helps. So, you know. Consistency is good, but you know what? Your brain won't always be consistent. So just playing on it.
100%. No, and the hack you just mentioned is good. Like when you start out, that's exactly the advice we give actually. We say 5 guests, like record 5 episodes before publishing the first. Like this, no matter the schedule, you'll have a few episodes in the bank and you have like 1 month horizon where you can not record and still get episodes out. But I think that's an advice that is applicable for any stage of the life of a podcast, which is make sure to have 2-3 months of episodes recorded already. So if you have like some business pressure or something personal coming up or whatever it is, you can eventually still get podcast episodes out. And this is not affected. You get the machine to keep on running. And it's like, it takes a bit of an additional effort, that's for sure. But then it's worthwhile. And another thing that you touched upon that I want to follow up on is, it could be interesting to have 2 hosts, for instance. At the very moment we are recording right now, Husam, my co-host, is on honeymoon. So obviously he's prioritizing personal life, and that's okay. And because we are 2, we're able to keep on getting guests on, having amazing conversations and interview with you, Matt, and the podcast keep rolling. So if you are 2 in your business, if you are 2 in the marketing department that is thinking about starting a podcast, just being 2 hosts can be very beneficial because you can then take turns and not have the pressure on everybody at the same time. 100%.
That was my initial desire in starting the podcast. Is a friend of mine, we had gone to university together. We both owned agencies. I was more digital. She was more traditional. But again, just an incredibly smart person that would bring a different view. But she's busy. So, you know, it started out. Yeah, the first couple of years, you know, we had to work around her schedule. And part of what got me podcasting was, you know, one of my favorite podcasts had 2 hosts. And I loved the way that they worked together and talked together with or without guests. They were just really good. And I just, I think what defines a good podcast is any podcast where you feel like you're there in the room with them and you could contribute to the podcast at any point where you feel like, I wish I could jump in here. That's a good podcast. So yeah, I do miss having the partner, but now I think for the past 6 years, it's just been me. So it's, you just adapt.
Well, and it seems to be working out pretty well. So that's all good. But so Matt, you cannot leave us like this. What's your favorite podcast then? What made you want to start it big too?
You know what? They stopped their podcast about 5 years ago. I know, but it was 2 professors from university. One was a history and theology professor. The other one was I think psychology. And just, you know, those are things I like. Culture, history, you know, a little bit of background and psychology. Things that were just really, really interesting to listen to. And so that just inspired me because I just felt like just their banter was fun to listen to.
Wait, is it The Rest is History, the podcast?
No, it was one called Virtue in the Wasteland. Yeah, it was a lot of Star Wars references as well.
Oh, you cannot not like it then. What's your beyond the availability of your first initially potential co-host, Matt? What has been your biggest challenge when it comes to podcasting?
Audio.
Okay, sorry. What's your second biggest challenge that is different than all the other podcasters? Because everybody says the same thing.
Video.
Indeed, makes sense.
You know, I'm still working on audio. There are always things that, you know, one nice thing is my brother went to school for audio engineering.
Cool.
And so I can lean on him a little bit. But there are times where he's like, I don't know what you did. You know, and I'm like, it's the same setup. I haven't changed anything. How is it? You know, why does it do that? And so now I feel like we've kind of got a system where, but every once in a while, now it's video. Yeah. Trying to... You know, I've got a camera, but I'm trying to get the right settings on it. And it's a headache. I resisted going video for the longest time because I was like, now it's no longer a podcast. Now I have to consider, you know, it adds to your workload. It adds to everything. And so video is a whole different animal.
Yeah.
And that's yesterday I signed a contract. I'm having someone come in to help me set up a professional video studio.
Oh, wow.
Because I can't figure this out on my own. So that's what we got to do.
So... You know, that's very fair. And actually, one of the biggest headaches, so right now, I'm in a different living room than when we set up a studio. But when we set up our first studio with Hussam, actually, going down the rabbit hole, it is so complex. Like, you need to think about lighting. You need to think about sound reverberation. You need to think about, oh, but wait, what if the sun goes down at the same time as you're recording? It's not the same lighting at the beginning that at the end. How do you get the camera at the right angle? What's the right way to... It takes a professional team to set it up, and that's okay. 100%.
Yep.
But so, yeah, it makes sense. And to follow up on what you said, but I think it's good that you go with video. And if anything, some video is better than no video. And the reason I'm saying this for all the podcasters and wannabe podcasters listening to us right now, YouTube is becoming big on podcasts. Google Podcasts is going to shut down. Google is shutting it down to focus on YouTube Music and YouTube Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they are doubling down, because YouTube is the platform for long-form video content, and they have been missing out on podcasts for so long. So right now, they are going to push on podcasts, and there is an audience to get there. And just publishing might get you some additional dozens, if not hundreds of views. And the second thing is, there is a reason Spotify is now allowing video on their platform. They are also aware of how successful video is at retaining attention. And just with a bit of setup, you don't need a whole professional Joe Rogan type of thing, but just a bit of a good setup with video, your podcast can get much more views, but also retain attention, and you distribute more value and you get more people to listen to you, and so on and so forth. So, right call. But definitely, probably one of the biggest challenges we hear from everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing. Your number one obstacle is going to be getting the audio right. And then... once you do video, it's going to be getting the video right. It's just, and it never ends. My wife, you know, just, she's like, another cable is in the mail, you know, it's because you're going to want to change and improve. You know, I started out, I'm using the Yeti mic right now for this, but you know, I've probably got four microphones in the podcast room. You know, three are not being used. One is my latest. And so you're going to keep improving your equipment, which means it's going to change everything. And so it's a constant, I don't want to say it's a battle, but expect it.
100%. I was a bit afraid, Matt, that you would say at some point, I have as many podcast microphones that I have domains, but we didn't go that far. It's not in the hundreds yet, but totally fair. So what would be your number one advice for podcasters? Once they've taken care of audio and video, what's your number one advice for podcasters? And may I dare to say, B2B podcasters?
Find a podcast. This gets to that motivation. Why are you getting into podcasting? Who do you listen to? Who is your inspiration? What kind of podcast do you like? So initially, you know, I told you, I listened to two professors. I love the way they handled things and talked to each other, the banter. And that's what made me want to get into it. What makes me stay in, you know, so... I have to figure out what kind of podcaster do I want to be? And typically, you're going to create a type of podcast based on what you like to listen to. And so the podcast that you listen to, make a list. Why do you like them? What is it? What is it about the host that you like? What is it about the guests that you like? Is it production? Start analyzing why you like certain podcasts and why other podcasts you start to listen and within 10 minutes you're like, no, not for me. What was it? What turned you off? And that's going to help you because it's just like websites. You can follow all the rules and not go anywhere. You have to do your own thing. Podcasts are the same thing. What is it that you love about your favorite podcast? Because that's going to influence how you create yours. And so the more you articulate that, the more you'll be able to define, here's how I'm going to do it. And building that structure first, that's going to help you. That's going to keep you motivated. It's going to keep you inspired because you can always go back to the ones you like and reinforce, here's why I'm doing it this way. Otherwise, you're going to second guess everything. You're going to second guess how you host. You're going to second guess how you talk to your guests. You're going to second guess your intro music, which I do. You're going to second guess, all these. So know why you're doing it.
Wow. There are lots of golden nuggets into that. And it comes down a bit to what we mentioned earlier about passion, right? I love the thing of that you said about, hey, who are you listening to? And what do you enjoy listening? Hey, if you would probably not like to listen to yourself for 10 minutes, well, a lot of people don't actually, but in the sense of the content that is proposed, the intonation, the voice, the way you ask the questions, the way you interact with the guests, well, probably you should think about changing a bit the way you approach it. So absolutely, absolutely love that. Matt, that was amazing. Anything you'd like to add to the different topics we touched upon that we didn't have a chance to talk about?
I don't know. This was pretty expansive. The other thing would be just, find a group of others who are podcasting. This is an area where you can learn from other people, learn what they're doing. One of the other podcasters in our network helped me set up, some of my recording. He had a similar setup, and so we were able to share some knowledge back and forth. But find other podcasters, work with them, be guests on each other's show. It's just going to help you as you learn from other people. And so don't think you have to do this alone. Absolutely not.
I like that. Do you want to touch upon the Marketing Podcast Network quickly? We had the founder of it on the show, Jason Fall. It's a previous episode if you want to listen to it. But what's your take on it, Matt? As a participant, what did you think about it? Why did you decide to join it? And on this importance of getting with people who do the same stuff as you. That's pretty good advice.
So Jason and I were in another network and they probably had a few hundred podcasters in it, but how they were monetizing is just the typical inserted ads. And, Jason asked me once, he says, have you seen any money from this? And I said, no, I haven't seen any money from it. And so he asked me, he said, if we started a network, would you leave and join? I'm like, absolutely, Jason. If you're going to do that, I know you. So yeah, I'm in. And then I think within about a month or two, he had started it. We jumped in. And here's the advantage of it. And here's what I absolutely love about it is, yeah, it's a bunch of marketers, but no one does what I do. They're all, everyone's got their own facet. Everyone's got their own unique twist on what they do. Even the agencies don't really compete. They're doing different things. I love that about our industry. But here's the cool thing. The most amazing thing, and people that get into podcasts and want to monetize it, you're never going to do it selling ads. No, you're never going to do it that. And by that, I mean the ad insertions that a network wants to do in your show. Now, as Marketing Podcast Network, we have, I think we're over 60 members, 60 shows. Now we have companies coming to us saying we want to advertise on the network. And now it's not per insertion. It's a, here's the amount. Here's how many downloads we have across the network. You're coming together. You're aggregating all of the downloads. And so now an advertiser is going to, basically, you come up with an agreement. And we're all getting, I would say, not bad. Better than we would have gotten if we were by ourselves. And so anyone who has a podcast, find a group. Join a network of podcasters, and now you can start selling as a group and get much more money. It's just pennies when you do the network insertions. And then if you get a sponsor, and that's the thing, you don't have to be a huge show to get a sponsor. It's absolutely amazing. And so, if you want to put the work in to find a sponsor to market yourself that way, you can do it.
So let me follow up on that last point, Matt, because I love this. You can actually, not to challenge it, but you can actually make money out of sponsorship in your podcast. but you need to have a lot of downloads to make it sustainable and viable. Like if you're not in the high hundreds of thousands of downloads a month, you're not gonna make any decent money with ad insertions and sponsorship. If you're above that, then by all means, like go for it, because the dollars per thousand impressions, that's kind of how it can be measured depending on the industry, but whatsoever, then it becomes interesting for both parties, right? For the advertiser, but also for the podcaster. If the objective is to monetize the podcast, there are so many other ways to do it. And typically lead generation, if you're a business, is one of them. But sponsors might not be the best course of action until you reach that very critical, massive point. Matt, that was really, really good. Oh yeah, one last point, actually. If anybody nodding about what Matt just said, that it's a network of podcasters that are specialized in marketing, and lots of you have marketing agencies, but yet you're all different. That's 100% true. After we interviewed Jason, we had Jan Turscott and Seth Goldstein on the show. If you just listen to the three interviews, you, Jan, and Seth, completely different. We don't talk about the same things at all. And that's amazing, because it's like, even in the same niche, which is marketing, which is still a rather broad niche, you can have so many different insights and perspectives and way to do things. So lots of golden nuggets into that. Matt, thank you so much. We like to close these interviews by asking one last question. Can you recommend us and our audience three podcasts on top of the Endless Cup of Coffee, obviously, that you're listening to and that are still active?
Yeah. The number one podcast that I could recommend is called Hardcore History. It is the number one podcast, because it's storytelling about history. Absolutely, probably one of my favorite podcasts. The episodes are 5 hours long. So I know, right? That is probably my number one go-to podcast. Number two is Team Human by Douglas Rushkoff. Those two probably take up the vast majority of my time. And I'm trying to think what's my number three?
B2B podcast stories?
Absolutely.
No, kidding. And on top of that, it's a bit nasty from me, because I'm saying, hey, not Endless Coffee Cup, and then the guy just sits on his own podcast. No, but so if you don't have a third, Matt, that's totally fine. But it's good. We'll check it out, actually. We'll check both out, Hardcore History. And the second one is Team Human by Douglas Rushkoff. And if the third pops out, just shoot us an email, Matt, and we put the last one in the description as well. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Guillaume.
Thank you for listening to the B2B Podcast Stories.
Likewise.
We hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please don't forget to hit subscribe and check us out at ghamarketing.com. Have a great day.